Hello, and welcome to the Dark Cryptids Podcast. I am your host, Devin Bloodworth. And the things that we discuss on this podcast include, but are not limited to, cryptids, paranormal encounters, dark history, and urban legends. I hope you enjoy this podcast. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello everyone, I hope everyone's enjoying the start of fall, because I sure as hell am. Me personally, I live out here in Florida, so fall and winter is really the only time of year that it's not hot. It's not exactly cold for us, but at least it stays in between the 60s and 70s for us. I don't know about everyone else, but actually starting to light up the pumpkin spice candles. Drinking some maple syrup coffee, some Southern Peach Jack Daniels as well next to me. Me and the missus actually just got back from Halloween Horror Nights. I know some of you guys are kind of used to me uploading an episode about every 10 days. I'll tell you this episode was about 11 or 12 days since my last one. But like I said, we went to Halloween Horror Nights, had a really good time with that. Actually went to this really cool bar called Cocktails and Screams. It's like a year-round Halloween themed bar. Only thing is that it was just packed to the brim, so we didn't get to enjoy it as much as we wish we could have, but it was still a really cool experience. So it was Halloween Horror Nights. My favorite house there was definitely Haunting of Hill House. We did have to wait for a good, felt like an hour and a half, but it was worth it in my opinion. Wish we could have gotten more done there, but I feel like anyone that goes to Halloween Horror Nights wishes they could have gotten more done. But that was just a kind of a quick update with what's going on lately. Episodes should still keep coming out about every 10 to 12 days. If you guys don't know because you haven't listened to my previous episodes, my work schedule is 8 days on and 6 days off. So usually I take those first 2 or 3 days off to kind of get situated again, relax, maybe do a little bit of research for the next episode. But yeah, so here we are. I just want to say thank you guys for blowing up the Facebook page. If you're coming over here from Facebook, I really appreciate that. Essentially, you guys made my page likes go on there from about 0 to, I forgot the last time I checked, but I think it's in the hundreds by now. Let me check here. Yeah, we're officially at 103 likes on the Facebook page, which by the way, you can find it at Dark Cryptids Podcast. The Instagram page, we really don't have that many likes on there, but to be honest, the Instagram page is kind of dead. I don't really post anything on there. So if this is really your first episode, since you guys have followed me on Facebook, I appreciate it. I appreciate all that love. I really do. Especially considering that Facebook page was just made under 30 days ago. To already get 100 plus page likes, that's actually pretty good. Podcast itself is about... we have about 200 audience members out here now, so... that number is slowly growing, so I really do appreciate y'all on that one. But before we get started on this episode, the last thing is the analytics. Basically, most popular city of this podcast. So it's actually a tie based on what I'm checking tonight. It's a tie between California, Santa Ana. Appreciate y'all out there. You guys are definitely helping grow in the podcast for sure. And then, as usual, Houston, Texas. I really do appreciate everyone in Houston, Texas out there. I've got family that lives out there now, so hope y'all are listening. Thank y'all. And then in third, we actually have Florida. I haven't clicked on it yet, but I have a feeling it's going to be Jacksonville. Yep, Jacksonville, Florida. I actually stay out here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm not afraid to tell y'all that because... if one of you guys decide to get the dedication to hunt me down, based off of me saying I live in Jax, Florida, well, at that point, I feel like you deserve it. But let's go ahead and get right into the episode. We've been putting it off long enough. I know you guys had to listen to the intro, and now the little spiel I got going on here. So, tonight, I kind of want to do something laid back, to be honest with y'all. We just got back from 3 days in Orlando. I've driven about a good 4 hours today, four and a half. Been up since 11, actually 10. And I've got to stay up till about 5 a.m. in the morning because of my job. So tonight we're just reading a few stories I found. It'll make it pretty chilled out. Now, all these stories are actually going to come from the same website. The website name is going to be ultimatecampresource.com. And I actually found these under campfire stories. I figured tonight we'll go with a chilled out, campfire stories tonight. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm just going to kind of pick some that as I go along. I figure it'll be a good vibe to kind of drink some coffee too, relax in the bed a little bit, cut off the lights. So that's pretty much what I'm doing, sitting here in a dark room, staring at a monitor, drinking some coffee and some Jack. But yeah, let's go ahead with some campfire stories. I'm not really setting a number on these. Probably just gonna stop when I hit about the 30-40 minute mark. But let's go ahead and get into it. Our first story is gonna be called 10 Holes. By the way, I don't see any authors for these, or else I would shout them out. So that's why I'm not shouting out any authors. I'm not seeing them. I'm just finding all these on the website I just mentioned. 10 Holes. Once in a little village, not that far from here, there was a problem. Animals had started dying off one by one. In the morning, their owners would see them lying outside with 10 holes in their chest. The people thought it was the work of their neighboring town. Then, one night, a man by the name of Fred was closing his store for the night. It was very late, and he was anxious to get home to his family. He shut off all the lights, then closed the door with a satisfying click. As he turned around to go to his car, he saw a dark shape in the distance. He stood still, trying to figure out what it was. As he got closer, Fred turned to go. It was the last move he ever made. The next day, they found him with 10 holes in his chest. This made the town quite worried. They were scared of more people getting killed. So, one night, two brave brothers, John and Jacob, went out to get rid of the problem. They each took knives and walkie-talkies. They said goodbye to their father and kissed their mother on the way out. The two boys decided to split up. One would go by the side of the murder, and the other would wander the streets. If one was attacked, they could use their walkie-talkie to contact the other. So they set off, keeping a close eye on the shadows. Nothing seemed to be happening. It was a calm night, and it seemed like they would get home safely. But then, suddenly John heard a crackling in the bushes behind him. He tried to call his brother, but it was too late. The figure leaped out of the bushes and tackled him, gouging his chest with its nails. Luckily, Jacob heard the commotion and rushed to help him. He leaped through the air and cut off the creature's right hand. The creature screamed and ran. Jacob took John to the hospital, and they bandaged him home. The doctors called them heroes, and finally, they got home at 6 that morning. Only their grandmother was up, so they said good morning, then went back to bed. Neither of them noticed she was missing her hand. Okay, that was a I'm not gonna lie, at first when I was reading that, I thought it was kind of cheesy, but that one was actually kind of good. So if you guys kind of haven't figured out the theme here, when I said campfire stories, I literally meant these are campfire stories. There's actually a part in this last one where it said, the people thought it was the work of their neighboring town, insert name. So these really are stories that you can kind of tell by the campfire. They're meant to be scary, but not so scary that it'll just scare the crap out of the kids and all that great stuff. But like I said, tonight's more of a kind of chilled out, honestly lazy night here. So normally I spend about a good week coming up with stories, doing some research, kind of figuring out a general guideline to the episode. But it is what it is. Right, this one actually looks interesting. It's called Army of the Dead. Alondra, newly moved to Charleston following the Civil War, found herself awakened at the stroke of 12 each night by the rumble of heavy wheels passing in the street. But she lived on a dead-end street and had no explanation for the noise. Her husband would not allow her to look out the window when she heard the sound, telling her to leave well enough alone. Finally, she asked a woman who washed at a tub next to hers. The woman said, "What you are hearing is the Army of the Dead. They are Confederate soldiers who died in hospital without knowing that the war was over. Each night they rise from their graves and go to reinforce Lee in Virginia to strengthen the weakened Southern forces." The next night, the laundress slipped out of bed to watch the Army of the Dead pass. She stood spellbound by the window as a gray fog rolled past. Within the fog, she could see the shapes of horses and could hear gruff human voices and the rumble of cannons being dragged through the street, followed by the sound of marching feet. Foot soldiers, horsemen, ambulances, wagons, and cannons passed before her eyes, all shrouded in gray. After what seemed like hours, she heard a far-off bugle blast and then silence. When the laundress came out of her daze, she found one of her arms was paralyzed. She has never done a full day's washing since. Wait, what? That was good, but I feel like I'm missing something. Wait, here ain't there Confederate soldiers. See shapes. Heh? Alright, I'm not sure what this one. Why her arm was paralyzed. If one of you guys like heard something that maybe I'm missing, let me know. Like best be on Facebook or something because I have no idea why one of her arms is paralyzed. But I mean, that was still good. Let's go with you. I've already read Doggy Lick. That was part of Urban Legend. I've already read Backseat Maniac. That was part of Urban Legends episode. Let me see this one, Girl with the Underpass. Oh, that was just another hitchhiking story where a girl disappears. Do La Malahora. Ooh. Okay, this one looks good. All right, La Malahora. It's a Spanish name, so I might have just butchered that. I apologize. My friend Isabella called me one evening before dinner. She was sobbing as she told me that she and her husband Enrique were getting divorced. He had moved out of the house earlier that day, and Isabella was distraught. I called my husband, who was on a business trip in Chicago, and he agreed that I should go stay with Isabella for a few days to help her during this difficult time. I packed a small suitcase and got right into the car. It was late, and it would take me at least 4 hours to drive from my home to Santa Fe. Isabella was expecting me to arrive around midnight. As I traveled down the dark, wet highway, I kept feeling chills as if someone or something were watching me. I kept looking in the rearview mirror and glancing into the back seat. No one was there. Don't be ridiculous, I told myself, wishing fervently that I was home in my bed instead of driving on a dark, rainy highway. There was almost no traffic, and I heartily wished that I would soon reach Santa Fe. I turned off the highway just before I reached the city and started down the side roads that led to Isabella's house. As I approached a small crossroads, I saw a woman step into the street directly in front of my car. I shrieked in fright and slammed on my brakes, praying I would miss her. The car shuddered to a halt, and I looked frantically around for the woman. Then I saw her, right beside my window, looking in at me. She had the face of a demon, twisted, eyes glowing red, and short, pointed teeth. I screamed as she leapt at my window, her clawed hand striking the glass. I put my foot down on the accelerator, and the car leapt forward. For a few terrible moments, she ran alongside the car, keeping up easily and striking at me again and again. Then she fell behind, and in the rearview mirror, I saw her growing taller and taller until she was as large as a tree. Red light swirled around her like mist, and she pointed after me, her mouth moving, though I could not make out the words. I jerked my attention back to the road, afraid what might happen to me if my car ran off the street. I made it to Isabella's house in record time and flung myself out of the car, pounding on her door frantically and looking behind me to see if the demon-faced woman had followed me. Isabel came running to the door and let me in. "Shut the door, shut it," I cried frantically, brushing past her into the safety of the house. "Jane, what is wrong?" she asked, slamming the door shut. She grabbed my hand and led me into the living room. I sank onto the couch and started sobbing in fear and reaction. After several minutes, I managed to gasp out my story. Isabella gasped and said, "Are you sure you were at a crossroads when you saw her?" I nodded, puzzled by her question. "It must have been La Mejora," Isabella said, wringing her hands. "The bad hour?" I asked. "This is bad, Jane. Very bad," Isabella cried. "La Mejora only appears at a crossroads when someone is going to die." Ordinarily, I would have laughed at such a superstition, but the appearance of the demon woman had shaken me. Isabella got me a cup of hot cocoa, brought my luggage in from the car, and sent me to bed. She was so concerned for me that she didn't once mention a divorce or Enrique. I felt much better the next morning, but I could not shake the feeling of dread that grew within me all day. Neither of us mentioned La Mejora, but we were both thinking of her when I told Isabella that I wanted to go home. Isabella insisted on accompanying me. I flatly refused to drive after dark. I was afraid I would see the demon woman again when I passed the crossroads. We left the next morning, and we hadn't been home more than 20 minutes when a police car pulled into my driveway. I knew at once what it meant, and so did Isabella. The officer spoke very gently to me, but nothing could soften the news. My husband had been mugged on the way back to his hotel after dinner last night. His body had not been found until this morning. He had been shot in the head and was killed instantly. Okay, that was a good one. That was a good one, I'll give him that. Better than the last one, the freaking Army of the Dead. Cause I still don't understand that one though. Like, what made her arm paralyzed? I feel like I'm missing something and I'm just like being stupid right now. Some good coffee. Alright, what's this one? Nightmare House? Alright, this one looks like a good one. Let's go ahead and read it. This one's called Nightmare House. It was a dark and stormy night. Steve had just came in from having tied down anything that could possibly be blown away in the wind outside. Cold seeping into his bones, he decided to go sit by the fireplace to warm up. He closed the door to the large living room of the large house he had just purchased. His wife and daughter were back at the old home, gathering up some of the last items to be moved to their new home. Steve decided to stay the night by himself to get a feel for the house. The house was probably too large for such a small family, but Steve couldn't pass up the goodbye he got on it. An old antique house, incredibly large in a quiet, secluded area, for such a small price. Steve still couldn't believe how lucky he was. That's how they get you, man, with them haunted houses, give you a small price. The television was one of the items his wife was bringing the next day, so he decided to read a book to pass the time. He sipped at his hot coffee while being warmed by the crackling fireplace. Steve couldn't help but to look forward to many more nights like this, all snug in front of the grand fireplace on a cold winter night that would eventually come. He had just started to get into his book when he heard a tapping sound from the upper floor. Steve brushed it off quickly. Old houses like this always make sounds like that in the movies, even though I'm sure it's had enough time to settle. He had to chuckle over his corny joke. He went back to his book, but the sound started again. It seemed to be moving across the room upstairs. Perhaps mice, thought Steve. I should really look into that tomorrow morning. The wife would not be pleased to find mice in their new home. Tomorrow, though. No use chasing mice in the dark. Then Steve heard what sounded like a door opening upstairs. The big room was starting to feel a little bit less cozy. He tried to pass it off as his imagination running wild, and tried to immerse himself in his book. It did no good, because this time the sounds didn't go away. The tapping footsteps started to sound like they were coming down the stairs. Down the stairs that led to the living room's door. Thump, 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 louder and louder as they went down. Steve had to put the book down now, and was staring at the door with great intensity. What if it's a robber, he thought. Or worse. No, he mustn't let his imagination go wild. He stared at the great door. Sorry, I just lost my place, y'all. There we go. He stared at the great door and heard the footsteps keep thumping, finally coming off the stairs and towards the door. Thump, thump, thump. He stared at the door, his fear increasing. Thump, 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 thump. The fireplace suddenly went out. The door handle started to turn. Steve was too frightened to get up to stop it. Stuck in his place by fear, slowly it creaked open, until it was finally completely open to Steve. A great blinding light filled the room from the door. A blood-curdling scream arose from Steve. Linda pulled into the driveway in her truck. She was sure she finally had gotten every last thing, and was ready to move into the new house. Her daughter bounced out of the car and ran towards the house. Linda thought, not for the first time, that the house was much too big for the three of them, but Steve was too much in love with it for her to change his mind. Steve, she had told him not to spend the night in the house alone, but he had insisted. She smiled to herself. The big goof was probably going to tell their daughter all kinds of ghost stories he made up last night, and she'll end up trying to soothe her to bed tonight. Her daughter bounded into the house. She followed closely behind. She called for Steve, but got no answer. Probably still asleep in that huge living room, or can't hear us through the door. He loved the room the most about this house. She told her daughter to check the living room for her father. Her daughter went off to do that. Linda started unpacking some of the food they had brought in the kitchen, when she heard a scream from her daughter. She ran through the living room to see what was the matter. She looked in and screamed herself. Steve was sitting in his chair, book on the floor. His hair had turned stark white. His clothes were ripped, and it looked like he had tried to claw his eyes out with all the claw marks on his face. He was dead, with a look of stark terror etched forever on his face. Linda retched and cried. What could possibly have done this to her husband? What? Then, through her sobs and her daughter's screaming, she thought she heard a thumping sound upstairs. Okay, that was a good one. I like that one a lot. That was a good one. Okay, so some of y'all probably wondering right now. Well, some of y'all that's been here since kind of episode one have probably figured out by now that most of my episodes end around the 30 minute to 35 minute mark. I'm actually gonna go ahead and pump out like two more stories, three more stories here. But first, I need to take a break. I get some rice and whatnot cooking. I need to go check on that. So we're gonna go ahead and take a quick ad break here. Ad probably takes about 30 seconds, so thank y'all for listening to these ads. They actually do help me more than you realize when it comes to income for the podcast. Because I've made about 20 or 30 bucks off the podcast, which doesn't seem like much, but it helps. I try to put it back into the podcast on advertisements, getting some better stuff and whatnot. My next big purchase for the podcast is actually going to be a microphone, because I use an app called Crisp that helps with it, but you can only do so much when you got like a $10, $15 microphone. But anyway, yeah, let's go ahead and take that ad break. I'll be right back, y'all. Appreciate it. All right, everyone, we are back. Took myself a short break to check on the rice and sausage I got going. Refilled my coffee and browsed Reddit for a little bit. But let's go ahead and get right back into this. I'm probably gonna read two stories at least, maybe three. But this one, we kind of covered it a little bit in the last episode, Urban Legends. But I do like how this one gets into it a little bit more. This one is called The Birth of the Jersey Devil. A storm was raging that night in 1735 when Mother Leeds was brought to bed in childbirth. The room was full of women folk gathered to help her, more out of curiosity than goodwill. They had all heard the rumors that Mother Leeds was involved in witchcraft and had sworn she would give birth to a devil. Tension mounted when at last a baby arrived. It was a relief, and to some a disappointment, when the baby was born completely normal. But a few moments later, before their terrified eyes, the child began to change. The room erupted with screams as the child grew at an enormous rate, becoming taller than a man and changing into a beast, which resembled a dragon, with a head like a horse, a snake-like body, and bat's wings. As soon as it was full grown, the monster began beating all the women, including his mother, with its thick, forked tail. With a harsh cry, it flew through the chimney and vanished into the storm. The monster of Leeds, or the Jersey Devil, as he was later called, still haunts the pines of New Jersey, wreaking havoc upon farmers' crops and livestock, poisoning pools and creeks, and appearing on the Jersey shore just before a shipwreck. Okay, that one's kind of short and sweet to the point. Oh, this is a good one. I remember this story as a kid. For us, it was a green ribbon. But this is called The Black Ribbon. Long ago, a young man met and fell in love with a beautiful young woman. She was always dressed exquisitely, and she always wore a black ribbon around her neck. Soon, the man and the woman were married and moved into a little cottage by the sea. They started out very happily, but soon the young man became more and more curious as to why his wife wore a ribbon around her neck all the time. One day, he decided to ask her. The only answer he received was that he would be sorry if she took it off, so she would not take it off. The young man was not happy with his wife's answer. Time passed, and eventually all he could think about was that black ribbon. One day, he awoke before his wife, went into her sewing box and got a pair of scissors, and cut off the ribbon that was around her neck. His wife woke up with a start. Her head fell off and rolled onto the floor, while the woman screamed, I told you, you'd be sorry. That was also kind of short and to the point. But I do like that one. I remember, I don't know if any of you guys ever heard that one before, but I remember hearing about that one when I was a kid, except it was a Green Ribbon. And it was definitely longer. I just don't remember the whole story because I was so young. Alright. Okay, here's this one. It's called The Elevator Operator. Herman was spending a night with some friends who lived in a country. He went to bed late and did not sleep well. Off in the distance, he thought he heard the sound of a horse-drawn carriage. He got up, went to the window, and looked out. There, in the full moon, he saw the carriage he had heard right outside of the house. The carriage looked like it was carrying a coffin. The driver of the carriage looked up at the window where Herman stood. The driver's face was ghostly pale and very thin. "All aboard," the driver said to Herman. Herman stepped back from the window and laid back down on the bed. He eventually fell back into a fitful sleep. The next morning, he told his friends about the carriage and driver, and they all decided that he must have had a very bad dream. Later that day, Herman went back home to his apartment in the city. Just as he started to board the elevator, he looked at the elevator operator. He saw the same pale, thin face that had belonged to the carriage driver. The elevator operator looked at Herman and said, "All aboard." Herman stepped back from the elevator and stood as if in a trance, until a few moments later he was startled by a loud crash. The elevator cable had broken and the elevator had plummeted down, killing everyone on board. Later investigation discovered that the elevator operator had been a temporary employee and hired only for that one day. Oh, that's creepy. That's creepy, I'll give him that. Alright, here's one that looks decent. This one is called The Grave. A young woman lay suffering on her deathbed, her stillborn baby lying against her chest. Her young husband crouched close, stricken with grief. His beautiful wife crooned a lullaby to her dead baby, her voice growing fainter as death drew near. Finally, she looked at her husband and asked him to bury her back east beside her dead mother. Choked with grief, the young husband agreed. But after his wife lay still in death. Her husband could not bear to be parted from her and their dead child. He had them buried together beneath a lonely pine tree on a gentle sloping knoll near their home, where he could visit the grave. As spring drew near, fragrant wildflowers bloomed across the knoll and the small grave. One night, the husband threw himself across the flower-strewn grave, head buried in his arms as he tried to control his grief. As he lay there, the stillness of the night seemed to deepen. A light breeze tussled his hair and swayed the branches of the pine tree. At that moment, he heard a soft voice crooning a lullaby. He started upright, searching about for his wife. He heard a gurgle from an infant, a happy sound of contentment. Then the breeze died away, and the branches of the pine tree stilled. Then a shining light seemed to descend from the dark sky and hover over the young husband and a small grave under the tree. The husband heard the singing again, and the happy laugh of a small child, and then there was darkness. The husband went home that night with peace in his heart for the first time since the death of his wife. People say that on dark summery nights, you can still hear the young mother singing a lullaby and hear the happy chuckles of her tiny child. Okay, that one wasn't scary, but not gonna lie, that was kind of a nice change of pace, a little wholesome story. Let's see what else we got here. The evil in the room? Okay. Alright, this one's called The Evil in the Room. This one's a little bit of a longer one. Marcia Bennett told me this story herself. She had been north to visit friends in the state of Washington. Now she was driving back to her home in California. The last lap of the day's journey was over the Cascade Range that stretches from Washington to California. It was late in the evening, and snow had started to fall before she finally reached a little Oregon town where she planned to spend the night. Tired and ready for a hot meal and a good night's sleep, she stopped at the first place she came upon. It was an old hotel on the main street. The lobby had a musty odor. The seedy clerk behind a desk signed her in. Her room was on the third floor, room 310. She helped an elderly bellhop with her luggage. As soon as the door to the room was open, a blast of hot air struck Marcia full in the face. Along with the hot air came something else. Something she could not define, but that filled her with dread. It was heavy and depressing, she explained, with the strong scent of evil. She felt as if she were about to faint. All she said was, "It's awfully hot." The bellhop tinkered with the radiator knobs, then he opened the window and left. The room began to cool off, but the feeling of despair and dread grew even stronger. It centered on an open square of black window space. The terror seemed to speak in her mind. "Go to the window," it said. "Throw yourself out, out, out." Terrified, Marshall flung herself on the bed, furthest from the window. "I kept saying no, no, no to that voice," she told me, "but the voice kept insisting." "You can't fight me, you puny thing," it said. "Sooner or later you'll jump. I'll make you jump, jump, jump." At last, Marshall could stand it no longer. She stood up, calling herself a coward. "Coward or not," she explained, "I was sure that if I stayed tonight, I'd be dead by morning." Marcia was prepared to sacrifice the money she'd already paid just to leave, but when she went downstairs with her baggage to check out, the clerk never asked what was wrong or if she wanted to try another room. He returned a full cash amount to her. Marcia drove down the street to a modern motel. As she entered the lobby, she felt the dark depression slip from her shoulders. She became almost giddy with relief. She had planned to be on her way early next morning. Instead, she decided to stay over a day and look into the history of the old hotel to see if she could discover the reason for her terrifying experience there. She visited the local library to make a few inquiries. An elderly librarian sat behind a desk. "I'm just wondering," Marcia said tentatively, "did anything shocking ever happen in the old hotel?" The librarian looked at her strangely. "How did you come upon that bit of history?" she asked. "It took the hotel a long time to squash the story." The librarian went on to tell what happened. One evening back in 1948, a couple checked in the hotel as Mr. and Mrs. Oscar Smith. The next morning, hotel employees found a young woman's body lying on a sidewalk outside the hotel beneath room 310. The man who had registered as her husband had disappeared. At first, they assumed suicide, the librarian concluded, but then they pried open her fist and found she was clutching a handful of dark curly hair, not her own. So they made a search for the murderer, but he was never found. "By the way," the librarian suddenly added, "isn't that a coincidence? It all happened on November 5th, 40 years ago yesterday." Okay, yeah, that one was a little creepy, I'm not gonna lie. So that one was kind of creepy to me because that I don't really like hotel rooms, especially ones not on the first floor. Like modern hotel rooms don't really like bother me too much. It's more like the old motel or hotel rooms, because in my head I'm like, there are so many people that's been in and out of this room, and who knows what's happened in this room in all the years it's been here. Meanwhile, modern rooms, I'm just like, it's only like 10 years old, not much could have happened. But those rooms are like 30 to 100 years old, anything could have happened in there. But that is actually gonna be the last story of tonight's episode. This episode was definitely a little longer than most, but that's kind of what happens when I don't have to do too much research or like look into too much stuff. I just want to thank everyone again for coming by, listening to the episode. This podcast, once again, has been growing pretty good. And some of you might be confused if this is like the first episode you're watching after you've only watched like the first two episodes. So essentially what happened is for my first episode or three, my first two or three episodes, I think it was, I was kind of trying to make it into like a very serious show where I just read it and that's it. But I would make like a script and everything. And I kind of changed that up to where it's more of a casual, freestyle kind of episode now. And the reason I've been doing that is it's a lot less stressful on me. It helps me push out the episodes quicker. And honestly, like whenever I was doing the scripted episodes, like the podcast just felt like a ton of work to me. Like, don't get me wrong, it is work to make these episodes. It does take time out of my day to do it, but I enjoy doing it. Back when I was doing a script, like I liked it, but it was something that was kind of like, damn, I really gotta sit down here for like a good few days, come up with the script, go ahead and do all the research for it, and then rehearse it a few times before I do it. So I'm just glad I kind of changed it to this way of doing it, a more casual pace to it. Plus, I feel like doing it casually just kind of gives it that more genuine feel to it. But I'm not gonna try to take up too much more of everyone's time. I know this has been a long episode, so I just want to personally thank everyone for stopping by and listening to the episode. If you'd like to interact with me, we have an Instagram and a Facebook at the moment. Our Facebook is gonna be the Dark Cryptids Podcast, spaces in between each word, and it should show up as a Facebook page. On there, you can get updates about when new episodes release, and I usually post on there just kind of randomly, just for fun. I also have an Instagram called The Dark Cryptids Podcast with no spaces. To be honest, that's kind of a dead page in the sense of I don't really post on there. Now, if you go on that page and send me a message, I'll still see it and get back to you. That page I really just don't post on, no. But preferably, if you want to message me with stories, commentary, or anything like that, I would really prefer for you guys to use a Facebook if you can. But if you can't, it's not an issue. Just use an Instagram. As well with the Facebook, because it is a new page, if any of you guys could just leave reviews under the Facebook page, that would help a lot. It would definitely draw in more listeners, help me out, help get the page in good standing and whatnot. But I think that's about it. More likely not, I'm gonna forget something, and not realize it until after I listen to the episode. But thank you everyone for stopping by and listening to the episode, and y'all stay spooky.